American democracy is in trouble. Political influence is bought and sold by PACs and special interests. Political discussion has become a blood sport. And at election time, more and more Americans opt out. The Quaker writer, teacher, and activist Parker Palmer explores ways to restore the invisible infrastructure of American politics in a new book. It's called Healing the Heart of Democracy, The Courage to Create a Politics Worthy of the Human Spirit. To begin with, Parker suggests we deal with our political tensions by honoring rather than manipulating them, because those tensions are at the heart of democracy itself.
The institutions of American democracy are really built around a long-term capacity to hold tension. You don't have a democracy without the kind of tension-holding institutions that the founders created. So, for example, we have the executive branch, we have a legislative branch, and we have a judicial branch. And it takes only a moment's thought to realize that time and time again, what comes out of one of those branches gets held in tension with contrary views in another of those branches. And out of those collective tensions over time come decisions, but they're only temporary decisions, because those tension-holding structures of government keep functioning like a loom to weave and reweave the fabric of a civil society. Joseph Ellis has a brilliant book called American Creation, in which he says, look, the institutions that the founders established were not designed to come up with answers to our problems. They were designed to hold the salient questions long enough that we could keep coming back to better and better answers. We have this desire within us as human beings to resolve tension right now. That's part of the fight or flight impulse that is so famously known among us. But in a democracy, if you come up with a final solution, you're on the path to evil. And I mean that quite literally. There is a form of government that came up with the final solution. It's called Nazism. It was exercised in the Third Reich.
And they were voted into office.
And they were voted into office, absolutely. Because every now and then there arises in a body of people a desire for a strong man who will just cut the tension, get it over with, and let us get on with our lives. If that's what you want, then fascism is the thing for you.
In listening to you talk, it seems that democracy boils down to a personal decision. And even not choosing is a personal decision. It seems we Americans have lost a connection to this whole thing being personal, about us.
I think absolutely so. If you listen in to Americans talking about politics these days, it's all about stuff that's 1,000 miles away. It's about those people in Washington, D.C. It's about the folks who operate behind closed doors with lots of money and lots of access and lots of power. It's always about them, and it's always out there. But the whole principle of American democracy is, in the words of the founders, it was called into being by we the people. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. And it's always been true that if it's going to be called back, and every time it has been called back, that call has come again from we the people.
And it's the habits of the heart that are developed in a personal sense that are the only hope we have of developing habits of the heart in a public sense.
I think absolutely so. These habits of the heart and the local venues in which they develop, families, neighborhoods, classrooms, religious congregations, the spaces of public life, these are the infrastructure of democracy. And just as we have let our physical infrastructure in this society go to hell in a handbasket, so have we neglected the infrastructure of democracy. We have allowed a political climate to be created which is so not only conflicted, but so verbally violent, and violent in other more direct physical ways as well, that lots and lots of we the people have been driven out of the public sphere back into private life.
So how do we heal the heart in this way? I mean, it sounds as though this is a difficult process. We're faced with a world right now where there is intense division between the haves and the have-nots in this country. We're faced with those people in Washington, I say that as much as anybody, those people in the state capital, whatever state you live in, those people who don't agree with me are wrong. Those people who agree with me are right. We need to get away from that, but it seems stronger now. Where do we go to begin to heal the heart in a personal but also in a political way? How do we heal the heart of democracy?
It seems to me that what we need today is a We the People movement, which begins at home and which starts to create a climate of discussing our differences that is respectful enough and creative enough that people aren't driven out of the political arena by it, but are drawn more powerfully in. I'm prepared to grant that on the left and on the right, there are 15 to 20% of people at the extremes who are constitutionally incapable of participating in that creative, generative conversation.
In your book, you talk about this conversation with the percentage capable of having it as a dance between the darkness and the light. Can you explain that further?
I think we have to be able to say the darkness and the light are constantly at play, and the one isn't good and the other bad. It's what comes out of the dance of darkness and light, the intermingling, the co-creativity that we value and cherish. And we need to learn how to host that dance and to engage in that dance and to do that dance with one another. If we drop down to a more human level of exchange and invite each other to start telling the stories that lie behind the beliefs we hold, then we're going to get somewhere. Then we're going to have a more creative conversation. I was with a physician a couple of months ago who was complaining bitterly about Medicare. I happen to think Medicare is very important, and it's jeopardized in our society now, and I don't like to hear anybody, especially a physician, put it down. But instead of tossing my opinion back at him, for some reason, I was given the grace in that moment to just start asking questions about his life as a doctor. And I learned that he's spending long nights at the clinic filling out forms that Medicare requires that are really sapping his energy and his morale for the work that he was called to medicine to do, which is to be with patients. And he shows up the next day exhausted and spent and resentful that some government bureaucrat who's not a physician has forced him into this position. Well, I don't think that the whole answer is to be found in that story, but I do know that hearing his story humanized my response to him. We were able to have a more creative conversation because I had learned enough of his story to have empathy for what he was trying to say. The more you know about another person's story, the less possible it is to distrust them or dislike them, let alone to hate them or marginalize them or call them subhuman. We have 1,000 examples of that, and I think that more and more of our local political discourse needs to be around this sort of simple question: what is it on your life journey and in your life experience that leads you to this place? What's interesting about that question to me is not only that I understand you better once I've asked it and pursued it, but sometimes people suddenly understand they've just been grabbing political opinions out of their favorite radio program or from their favorite columnist, and there's actually not a lot of life experience to stand behind them.
I wish we could go on forever. We can't. Those stories are really what democracy should be about, aren't they? Learning the other man's story, the other woman's story, the other person's story is the start of any good democratic experience.
I think so. I mean, I think democracy is a full-body sport, and it's about being human with one another, and we have to invest ourselves in it as much as we invest ourselves in the living of our own lives. And I think if we can do that, we're going to come out in a much better place as a civic community, as we the people.
Yeah.
Parker Palmer is a Quaker writer and activist. His new book is called Healing the Heart of Democracy,